Bosai, this year is focused on Rachel Imenu and Yaakov and Rachel. Leah is going to play a role as well, but more high profile is Rachel. And we're going to begin the year with a study of two of the descendants of Rachel and Leah respectively, and that's David, who's a descendant of Leah, and Yonatan, the son of Shaul, who's a descendant of Rachel. And the Mishnah in the second parak of Avos, when it wants to give a paradigm example of love, love that's not for a purpose, not a pragmatic love, you know, not that I love you because you do something for me, but simply out of a genuine, sincere love, the example given is David and Yonatan. In fact, that love actually cost Yonatan his life. So it wasn't something that you could say was motivated by a practical goal. And therefore the Mishnah uses the Ava of David and Yonatan as a paradigm of Ava she'eina tluya b'David. It's not something external, it's not something pragmatic, it's not some sort of a partnership, let's work together for a goal. On the contrary, they were on opposite teams, but they loved each other nevertheless. And there are many psukim in Tanakh, in Shmuel Aleph, and also in Shmuel Beis, that describe this love between David and Yonatan. And that, you know, that it really deserves a shiur unto itself, that chapter in Jewish history. In fact, after the death of Yonatan, David HaMelech's life was really changed. He describes in the hesped that he gives for Yonatan, this is in Shmuel Beis, at the beginning of Shmuel Beis, he describes his anguish. Tsar li olecha chi Yonatan, na'amt li ma'od, niflasa avas chali me'avas nashim. You know, we talk about the paradigm of love as a love between a man and a woman, but in this case, the love was so sincere that it even exceeded in its significance, in its value, the love of a husband for a wife. Having said that, and Amir Tzem hopefully will come back to that, you know, last year I gave was on Sunday. You may remember that we discussed the tefillah of Yaakov, you know, at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. Vayivka b'amokom v'yolon shom, and Chazal say in Pegiyah Loshen Tefillah, and the paradox of the fact that although Avraham Avinu established Shachris and Yitzchak Mincha, and those two were Tefillos Chova, Yaakov established Meir, but it's only Tefillos Rishus. How do we reconcile that? That was the subject of that Shir on Tuesday. And if anybody would listen to that Shir online, I would be very happy. So I think we added quite a bit, especially when we got to the Mabit in the Beis HaLokim, a phenomenal insight into what Yaakov's tefillah was all about. And I thought that this morning we would talk about Vayivka b'makom. What exactly was that makom? And Chazal say that the 12 stones gathered together and they formed one stone. Rashi quotes at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, and Chazal identify that stone as the Evan Shasia, and the question is, how could it be the Evan Shasia? After all, that was in Basel, the Evan Shasia was in the Kodesh Kodashim. But I decided, instead of talking to you about that today, I'm going to save that for my class tonight. I give a Chumash class on Tuesday nights. Everyone's invited to come. Yeah, well, it's actually a philosophy class, but I generally try to use the Parsha as a takeoff, or if not the Parsha, you know, the holiday that's coming up. Next Tuesday night, Pauline Eder, I hope to talk about Hanukkah, throw in a little Chassidus there. Thanksgiving, I won't be here, although I think this Thursday they might be serving turkey, I don't know. Hodu Lashem Kito. Now, in order to appreciate Rachel, we're going to see the Chazal. We're all familiar with this Chazal, but sometimes we don't see it inside, and it becomes so much more meaningful when we study the original text, which is the introduction of the Medrash Rabbah to Sefer Eicha, and what happened to the Jews when they went out to Golus, and where Rachel played such an important role. And this is all indicated in the Navi Yirmiyahu, Navi Karmar Hashem Kol Barama Nishma Nehi Bechi Tamrurim Rachel Mevak Al Boneh Meino Li Nochem Al Boneh Keinenu. So Rachel represents the paradigm of a mother who refuses to take no for an answer. Meino Li Nochem. You know, people try to console her and she refused. We have to keep trying and we have to keep going and praying. And as a result of her Bechi, Hashem responds, Ko'amar Hashem, Mini kolech mi bechi ve'naich mi dino, ki yesh sachar l'pula seichnum Hashem, v'shovu me'eretz oyev, yesh tikva l'achri seichnum Hashem, v'shovu banim l'gvulam. We're very familiar with these psukim that describe the fact that it was Rachel who was successful in clinching the divine guarantee, the divine promise that the people of Israel, who are now being exiled, will eventually come back to Eretz Yisrael. And that tikva, that hope, is the essence of her achievement in terms of Klal Yisrael, in terms of what she was able to do with her bechi, with her prayers, on behalf of her descendants, to guarantee that even though now they're going out to exile, they will return to Eretz Yisrael. And this fits in so beautifully in terms of the marriage partnership between Yaakov and Rachel, as we discussed on Sunday just 2 days ago, that the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu is the tefillah that will bring about the ultimate geula after the third golus, the golus of Edom. And here Rachel plays a major role in achieving through her tefillah, through her bechi, a divine promise that we will return. And in the introduction of the Medrash Rabbah to Eicha, which is all, of course, about the golus that is foretold by Yirmiyahu HaNavi, as soon as Yirmiyahu describes the destruction, the exile, Avraham Avinu comes in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and he says, look, at the age of 100 you gave me a son. When he was 37 you told me to bring him as a korban ola on the Mizbeach. I did what I had to do. It was in a sense an act of cruelty, but I overcame my natural compassion. And now, Hashem, will you not remember me? And in my merit, will you not have compassion on my children? Nothing seems to have helped. Yitzchak came along. And he said that when my father said to him, Elokim, Yirolo Aseh, you remember that Yitzchak was curious, where's the sheep that's going to be brought on the Mizbeach? And Avraham Avinu perhaps hinted to him, alluded to him, that it would be he himself, Liola Bini, you, my son, will be the Ola. Lo Ikavti Al Dvarecha, I didn't hesitate, and I was willing to be brought on the Mizbeach. I stretched out my neck under the knife, and you won't have Rachmanus on our children. Yaakov Avinu tries. He says to Ribbono Shel Olam, 20 years I slaved in the Beis Lavan, and then I met Esav on my way out. He tried to kill me. I was willing to give up my life. Now my children, my descendants, are in a state of Mesiris Nefesh. They're about to be giving up their lives at the hands of our enemies. Katzon Letivcha. Is it possible that you won't have Rachmanus? V'atalo Tizko Lizos L'Racham Al-Bonai. Moshe Rabbeinu got up and he tried to pray to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Wasn't I a Roa Neman? I was a reliable, loyal shepherd for Klal Yisrael for 40 years. I ran in front of them in the Midbar when it was time to go to Eretz Yisrael, and you decreed that I won't be able to enter into the land. I will die here in the Midbar. And I accepted that decree, and now you're sending my children into Golus. I'm here to cry on their behalf. And Mituvei Adoni lo tovli. It seems that Hashem says I have the best of the best, and yet that's not good enough for me. But Biosa Shah Kofza Rachel Imenu Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she was the one whose prayers were accepted on high, who successfully elicited the divine compassion. She said to Ribbono Shel Olam, you know that Yaakov loved me, a tremendous, intense love. He worked for me at my father's insistence for 7 full years. And at the end of the 7 full years, it became time for me to get married to my husband. Yatz Avi Lach Lifemi, but my father decided to make a mirva here and switch me, and instead give my sister. It was very difficult for me. And yet, Hodati Labali, I gave a siman to my husband so that he would recognize and discern between me and my sister, and my father will not succeed in his mirma and his trickery. But then I had a second thought. I overcame my taiva, my tremendous desire to get married to Yaakov Avinu. I had compassion on my sister, that she shouldn't be humiliated. And at that evening, I gave her the simanim, and she appeared in my place. She replaced me. And therefore, she was able to convince Yaakov that she was Rachel, even though she was Leah. I even somehow hid my body in that room so that my voice would be heard, and she, Leah, would be quiet so that Yaakov would not know that it's Leah there. And on every question that he asked, I answered. Again, I don't know exactly how she pulled that off, but somehow she was able to do that. The Gamalti Chesed Ima. Instead of being jealous of her, I decided that it's better to suffer, to forfeit my husband on her behalf, without being jealous, in order that she should not be humiliated. And if I'm a human being made of dust of the earth, and I didn't have jealousy, and I didn't take it out against her, because I didn't want to send her into a state of anguish and humiliation, then you are the Melech Chai V'Kayim, you are the infinite God. Have compassion. Overcome any sense of jealousy, kaviyochel, that you might have. What's called kinaf avodas kochavim. And therefore, now you're sending out my children to golus. They're being slaughtered at the sword by these terrible adversaries, these wicked enemies. Have compassion on them. Miyad. As a result, Nizgalgulu Rachmav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God's compassion was aroused, and he declared Bishvilech Rachel, not for Yaakov, not for Moshe, not for Avram, not for Yisrael, but Bishvilech Ani Machziris Yisraelim Komon, I guarantee, I promise, I will return the people to the land. And he quotes the psukim that we read in Yirmiyah that culminate with Veshavu Banim L'Gvulam. So we begin to get a little bit of a glimpse, but only a partial glimpse, and the purpose of Ashiya today is to get a more complete glimpse of what Rachel went through, the Mesiras Nefesh, and the suffering she was willing to experience for the sake of her sister Leah. In fact, this whole story that's told in the Medrash Rabbah and is indicated in the Psukim in Yirmiyah relates to Parshas Vayechi and the burial of Rachel. Rachel is buried outside the land, Baderech. And Yaakov Avinu finds it necessary to justify and explain his actions. Why didn't he take Rachel back to Eretz Canaan and bury her in the Maara Samachpelah? Rashi explains that Yaakov Avinu felt the need to justify this because Yadati, Yaakov says, I know, Yesh Belibcha Alai, you Yosef have something that you harbor against me in your heart. Aval Dalecha, but you should know that this was the divine will, that she be buried B'derech Ephrasa, and why should Tehei Li Ezra Lebaneo, shall help her children when Nevuzaradan representing the Romans, will send the Jewish people to exile, and they'll pass there. The Jews are going out into exile. Rachel will go out of her kever, she'll cry, she'll supplicate, and she will arouse divine compassion, as the pasuk says, "Kol b'ramah nishma." Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Yesh sachar lepulaseich l'shavu vodim l'gvulam." Now we turn to the second side, and we get a little bit into the concept of Rachel being buried not in Maaras HaMachpelah, but b'derech Beit Lechem. As Yaakov meets Rachel for the first time, Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel, he embraces her, Vayisas kolo vayefk. What was this bechi about? You and I might have said he was overwhelmed with joy. Sometimes a person who's overwhelmed with joy cries out of joy. But Rashi gives a different interpretation. L'fisha tzofa beruach HaKodesh, she'ena nechneses imo l'kvura. That she will not be buried with him. So the Shalach HaKadosh says, I don't understand. Burial is a nice thing. It's a great thing to be buried next to your wife. But it's not so tragic. He says, Vehine Rachel nikbara baderech. The reason why she was buried there on the side of the road. Kadesha Tiel Yezel Abaneh, as we saw in Rashi. What does it mean, this initial meeting, overwhelmed as it were by emotion and then crying? And Rashi says, because he saw that she wouldn't be buried, v'kashen, I don't understand what's going on here, says the Shalach. V'chi b'shvil shlo tikover imo, yivke. He has to cry over the fact that she won't be buried with him. Imagine, you meet a girl for the first time, and you see in Ruach HaKodesh that she'll be your wife, but she won't be buried with you, so you break out in tears. What's the meaning, the deepest significance of this bechi, says the Shalach, elahachi pirusho. This is what it means. Tzofa, he realized that the reason why she won't be buried with him is because of the golus in which the Jewish people were sent into the bitter and longest exile of Jewish history, and that therefore she has to be buried elsewhere in order to be an ezer lebaneha. He was crying therefore not because of the fact that she wouldn't be buried with him, but why wouldn't she be buried with him? Says the Shalal, Kein Bacha Machmas HaChurban VaHagolus Shetzofa. A whole new twist on this Vayevk. It's not that he was crying because she would be buried in a different place, not in the same gravesite as him, but rather because she has to be there to cry out because the Klal Yisrael are going into exile. So Yaakov Avinu now has the vision in Ruach HaKodesh to see in front of his eyes the Churban HaBayis, the Golus of Klal Yisrael. And that's why he breaks down. That's why he's overwhelmed with tears. Yaakov Avinu is running away from Lavan, if you recall. Vayetze Yaakov at the beginning of the parasha. Here I could actually use a chumash, if I could borrow a chumash just for a moment.
Yeah.
Because he only has Pasuk Dalet. Oh, all right, thanks. I got it.
Rabbi, wasn't he running from Esav?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to just check out. I get confused here. There are two times in that Yaakov is a fugitive. This is Perkov Tes. Oh, this is a little bit later on in the parasha. I thought this was Perkov Ches. Perkov Tes. Let's just open up to Perkov Tes for a moment. And this is on page, bottom of page 67, if you have the chumash. Okay, fine. Yeah, this is way before Lavan. You're right. This is when he's running away from Esav, and this is where he meets the future wife that he's going to take for a wife, Rachel. And you remember that he lifts up the stone from the Be'er in order to give them access to the water. Vayomer lehem Yaakov achai me'ayin atem. Vayomru mecharon anachnu. So Yaakov Avinu is on his way to Lavan. He meets these Roim. He saves. He helps in that situation, and he asks them where are they from. And then he finds out that they know Lavan. So what was their response? Mecharon anachnu. The major says the following: Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, mecharono shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu anu baruchim. Not too clear what that means. Hashem is angry. Why is he angry? Maybe because of what Lavan is preparing for them, and he's going to fool everybody. Vayomer lahem hayidatem es Lavan ben Nachar. Meaning, when you are on one level, you're saying that you're running away from some divine anger because of Lavan, but on a simple level, meaning on a mitzius level, you're not aware of that. Do you realize who Lavan is? Hayidatem es mishu asid lelabein avnoseichem kishelik. Again, a very unclear statement. Vayom lehem hashalom lo vayom shalom b'ezus chus. So what is it about Lavan that's sort of a redeeming factor? And that is that eventually he's going to give his daughter Rachel to marry Yaakov. Hine Rachel bito boi matzon. What's the greatness of the achievement of Rachel, and therefore the greatness of Lavan in giving, eventually, after all the trickery, to agree to give Rachel to Rachel's hand in marriage to Yaakov? It's the fact that she will play this major role of saving Klal Yisrael, or shall we say, I think a better formulation would be to say, to guarantee that that Klal Yisrael will return to Eretz Yisrael. Now, what I'm hoping that we're going to get into here is what was the great merit of Rachel. Obviously, we saw in the Medrash about the Mesiras Simonim that gave her that position, that special status that she, and only she, as opposed to all the others and Moshe and so forth, was able to guarantee Vishavu Bonim Ligvula. The Zohar says that the zchus of ha-bechi and ha-tachnunim is Klal Yisrael's geula, that they will be redeemed. Bebechi yavo, who bezchus bechi diem hayelet shei Rachel yavo v'yisnachshun min hagolus. The Zohar says that they were sent into Golus with bechi, but they will be redeemed bezchus bechi. And that's the Bechi of Rachel Imenu. Now, the Arizal wrote a book called Pre-Eitz Chaim. And there he speaks about Tikkun Chatzos. Tikkun Chatzos applies to those who learn Torah very late at night, and then when it gets to midnight, they pray on behalf of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Omno Matzinu Shenishtabchu miyod osama oskim b'torah acher chatzos. This is number 14, bottom right. He says that there's a great shevach to those who dedicate themselves to Torah even beyond midnight. What's the significance, asks the Ari, of midnight? Ma tablas ha'inu ki halo sod hazivug shel chatzos. Chatzos is the time of zivug, of man and woman. What's the word I want to use?
Marriage.
Well, not just the marriage, but the culmination of the marriage, the rendezvous. I'm looking for a word. I can't remember the word right now.
Betrothal.
Consummation.
Consummation. Excellent. That's a great word. The consummation of the marriage, and that happens in the case of Yaakov and Leah at Chatzos. At that point, Rachel Imenu is considered the Akeres HaBayis. She's in charge of the household of Israel. She's outside of the circle of Yaakov and Leah. And as a result of the fact that at Chatzos she lost her husband, so to speak, by forfeiting him to her sister, he tzoekes v'shoeges el Hashem Yisbarach al churban beis hamikdash. The time, the exact hour of Rachel's successful endeavor of praying on behalf of Klal Yisrael at the time of the churban was Chatzos Laila. That's when she had this most emotional state of anguish, tzoekes v'shoeges, because she was left in a situation of Ein Lo Zivug. Keep in mind, she didn't know that Yaakov would marry her 7 years down the line. So as far as she was concerned, Leah was the one, and that was it. And she had nixed herself, cut herself off from Beis Yaakov. So at that very moment of anguish, she turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and she cries for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. In other words, she experiences her own personal Churban Beis HaMikdash in her life, giving up, as it were, her beloved Yaakov for the sake of her sister Leah. And at that moment, she has a tremendous power of tefillah, because she was Moser Nefesh, and she experienced such anguish through the self-sacrifice of giving the Simonim over to Leah and forfeiting Yaakov. At that moment, she has the tremendous power of praying on behalf of Klal Yisrael at the time of the Churban, that they should be able to return to the land and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So at Chatzos Laila, for those who are up at that hour, and hopefully up for the right reasons, because they're studying Torah, that's the moment that has a special, shall we call it a school of power, to pray on behalf of the rebuilding of the third Mikdash. Because that's the moment that Leah prayed and cried to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem responded, "Yesh tikva lach risech." Now let's talk about the Mesiras Simonim. What exactly was this great act of chesed on the part of Rachel? Chazal say, and Rashi brings it down here at the beginning of Vayetze, "Vayhi baboker v'inehi Leah." So the night passed, and Yaakov consummated his marriage, not with Rachel as he had anticipated, but with Leah. And of course he comes running to Laman to register his complaint. Rashi says, what does it mean, baboker v'hinehi Leah? As if to say that during the course of the night it was Rachel, and then in the middle, excuse me, when daybreak, then Leah appeared? No. What does that mean? The answer is that he, Yaakov, had every reason to believe during the course of the night, until he saw her in the light of morning, that she was Rachel. Belaila, lo aiso Leah, l'fisha masar Yaakov simonim l'rachel, sh'rasa Rachel sh'machnisim lo Leah. When Rachel became aware of the fact that the plan was to bring Leah in her place, Amra, she declared, "Achshav tikolei machosi." There'll be klima, there'll be busha, there'll be humiliation. Amdo masala osan simonim. She gave over the simonim, the secret passwords, over to Leah. And therefore, Yaakov was of the opinion that it was Rachel. Until morning broke, and he recognized that it was not Rachel, it was Leah. So the Gemara Megillah says the following: that what was special, what was unique about Rachel, it was Bishar Tznius Shahaisa Baba Rachel Zachsa V'yatza Mimenu Shaul. Shaul HaMelech, the descendant of Rachel, is known for his Tznius. Chazal say that we can derive this from a pasuk, which you'll see a little bit later on, that he didn't reveal the fact that he was chosen as the king. This was all because of his tznius. And Rachel personified that midah of tznius. As a result, from Shol we get Esther, and Esther is also a paradigm of tznius. So we have a whole line of the midah of tznius that begins with Rachel. With the case of Rachel, it says, "Vayaged Yaakov l'Rachel, Vayugad Yaakov Vayagad Yaakov L'Rochel Ki Achi Aviyahu V'chi Achi Aviyahu V'alo Ben Achos Aviyahu Ela Omerla Minsevali Omerla In Miu Abara Mahu V'lo Yacholtle Omerla Omerla. Again, there's a Gerson problem here. Och Ano Baramos, Ano Baramos, Achiv, Achiv Ano Baramos. In other words, if he thinks, Lavan, that he's going to fool me, well, I can teach him something about fooling, because I was the one who fooled my father Yitzchak in order to take the brachas from Esau. Amar Olay, and she said to me, Mi Shari Litzadiki Liskuya Baramusa, you're a tzaddik, you're dedicated to truth, and now you're a rabbi. Omar La in. And he quotes a pasuk to prove that under certain circumstances you're allowed to be an ikesh tafsal, meaning you're allowed to fool somebody. Omar La, Umay Ram Yusa, Omale, Is Li Achsa de Kshisha Minai. What does it mean that he's going to fool me and trick me? And the answer is, says Rachel, I have an older sister. Velo minsiv li makama, he's not going to agree to give me to you for the hand, your hand in marriage, because he has to marry off his older daughter. Masala simonin. So it comes out here that it wasn't Rachel who actually created these simonin. It was Yaakov Avinu who gave the simonin. Kimoto Laila, but when night came, Omra Hashta Mikhsifach Achsi. My sister will be humiliated. Masrinu Niela, I'll take the simonim that I received from Yaakov and I'll hand them over to her. Vainu the Sivahiba Bokvinehi Leah. Michal the Hashka Leah Hiel, Mitok Simonim Shemosra Rachel Leah. The simonim that she got from Yaakov, she gave over to Leah. Therefore, he didn't know. And as a result of this tremendous action, which is called Tznius, in the Gemara Megillah, Yotzim and Shol, and the Tznius of Shol, Dvar Hamlucha Lo Higid Lo, etc., etc., and then Esther, Fi Es Moladet Lo Higid. So the Marsha asks the following question. How could it be that the entire night went by, and Yaakov didn't realize until daybreak that it was Leah, not Rachel? I don't understand, he says. Even if Rachel gave over the simonim, Lekel Meimar Shebe, I can't make out the next word here. Shebe Zulat Simonim Ayesavur Dalila Shi Rachel. You should ask the following question. Forget about the simonim. He should have realized that something was going on here. Why do you have to wait until morning, Laura? Yom Mistama Yamakira Bakol, this is what we call voice recognition. He's not operating with the assumption that she was under the bed, Rachel, and she was answering all his questions. Shayam Medaber Ima, when Leah would speak, then the Gemara says in other places in Shas, in Chulin, it says, Lohutru Sumin. How is it a blind person is allowed to have relations with his wife? He can't see her. How does he know it's his wife? In other words, he has a tfias ayin on her kol. He can recognize her voice. El al karcha shemesiras asimonim sheyidme lea lo diom li Yaakov heim hitu es Yaakov shelo eskima Shalo Lakira Bekol Kimoshe Hitu Simone Sa'ar Hayadayim Es Yitzchak Shalo Hikir Es Yaakov Bekol. So the Marsha is so impressed with this question. He's so convinced that this is a great question. How could it be that Yaakov didn't recognize the voice of Leah, that he answers that sometimes if you have other indications that convince you, then you overlook the fact that the sound of the voice doesn't sound familiar. Like, for example, in the case of Yaakov. Ukai gavna amru b'beishis rabba, b'tzafra v'inei le'am le'i, ma'isa bas rama, la'v b'layla v'ina karina rachel v'yat anyas. Notice the whole night I was calling out Rachel and you responded. Hine shalo hikira b'kol. How could he not recognize the voice and identify it as the voice of Leah? And the answer is because he was so convinced by the simanim that he paid little attention to the fact that the voice didn't sound like the voice of Rachel. Ktas kasha lomaya no sein le Rachel hani simanim havelei lismo chatvias eina de kola. Yaakov could have avoided the whole parasha of the simanim. He just would have relied on voice recognition. V'yesh lomar shaya Yaakov osa kein al tzara yosef tov shelo yirma osa. Yaakov did not want to rely on voice recognition. He wanted to give it an extra push, an extra strength in identifying who was with him there in the room. So therefore he gave the simanim to Rachel. It never occurred to him that Rachel would give the simanim to Leah. And therefore when Leah gave the simanim, we don't know exactly what the simanim were. On page 3 of Mitzvah Shem, we'll see what these simanim are. At that point, Yaakov Avinu overlooked some sort of a distinction in the call, and he assumed it was Rachel. The Alpia Medrash Miyushov Mashenitchak Bazeh Hamar Shabach Yidush Hagodas Hamaseth Babas Hamaylo Ikira Betfias Ainet the call. Here you want to look on the top of page 3, and he says here the name of the Chizkuni, Mikra Zemel Amdeinu Tzniyuso Shal Yaakov Shal Oriba B'dvarim Afilu Im Ishto She'ilu Dibra Ima Yamakira B'kol. There's a halacha that a person should not speak too much, even when he's having an intimate relationship. It should be more B'tzniyus. And therefore Yaakov Avinu didn't engage in some sort of long dialogue, long conversation with Leah. Harei cried, "Dari Moshe v'shanim." He should have recognized her voice. V'im Tomar v'ahavilu kedushei tos to sovershi Rachel yeshlomer mishiyoda she Leah baal l'shem kedusha. So Chizkuni says that when he found out that she was Leah, he had to have another relationship with her in order to clinch the Kedusha, because the first relationship he had was Tot, was based on a mistaken identity. And the same idea appears in other Sfarim, as you'll see in number 21. There's a Pasuk in Amos that says, Lahagi liyodam asicho, and sicho, bigamachia zu isha, al tarbe sichon isha. Not only that, there's halach of having a relationship in the dark, and therefore he didn't know, he didn't recognize that it was lit. So the Marsha, again, as we saw in the previous paragraph, was very upset, and he was very confused about the fact that how is it possible that Leah would have fooled Yaakov? You know, why didn't he recognize her voice? And we have a number of answers to this question. Number one, the Marsha's answer, which the later Mefarshim think is Dochak, namely that he was so convinced by the Simonim. The other answer is that Yaakov Avinu did not engage in any unnecessary chatter with Leah. And then we have the answer that it was night and it was black, it was pitch black in darkness. So all these factors kick in. Now, I'm not sure what the simanim were, but this Das Kenem Ibali Atosvis says that these three simanim were Nida V'chalav Adlokas HaNer. You may recall that the Mishnah says in Masechta Shabbos that there are three mitzvahs, responsibilities that are specifically incumbent upon whom?
Women.
On women. So maybe Yaakov Avinu tested Rachel, or turns out to be Leah, but he tested her to see if she knew, you know, it was like a quiz, you know, who would win the halachic prize for knowledge of the responsibilities, the obligations incumbent upon a woman. So those were Nida, Chal, and Adloka Saner. But again, it's clear from the Das Kenim that it was Yaakov Avinu who gave the Simonim, and then Rachel passed on the Simonim to Leah. The Chidah says, Zivug, Misha Zochel Eshes Chayel Hitis Orer V'tiga The bohen raglo hayimonis u bohen yodo hayimonis u tnuch oze hayimonis u tnuch vitiskavin lidchos misham. Okay, this is all based on Kabbalah. If you remember the parsha of nigei aguf, of tzaras aguf, there's a process of purification in which they took dam that was mixed up with the azov and his whole concoction, and they put it on his right toe and his right ear, etc., etc. These were three different places on his body, and this is keneged the sitra achra, which attacks man from three different sides. These were the simonim that Yaakov gave to Rachel. So again, we have two approaches here. We have the approach of the Baal Hatosis that he gave her some sort of halachic quiz about the responsibility of a woman, which is appropriate for going into marriage. And according to the Chidah, she would have to know where exactly, you know, she would have contact with him in a way that would get rid of any sort of shadim, because at the time of marriage, you know, the powers of evil, the forces of evil are working overtime. So we have to counter their powers. Now, the Ben Yoyada, I'm not going to be able to go into in great detail because it's a little bit of a sensitive topic. I'll tell you a little bit about what he says. This is the Ben Ish Chai, it is commentary on the Agadata. And he says the following, that it seems based on the Arizal, and this is all based on Kabbalah, that the greats of Klal Yisrael had a problem. And what was that problem? They didn't want to waste any zera, and all the zera was there for the purpose of procreation, but the only problem is that Chazal tell us that a woman can never get pregnant from the first relationship. So that means that the first intimacy would be wasted, so to speak. Wasted seed. Do you hear the problem? So what's the solution to this problem? The solution to the problem is as follows, that why can't she become pregnant from that first relationship? It's because that first relationship has to make her into a kli. In other words, has to open up her body in such a way that now, you know, the penetration will cause her conception. But that takes the first beer. So how did they avoid this problem and facilitate that she, that each one, in each case, he goes through all different greats in history and in Tanakh, would be able to impregnate their wives on the first beer? What they would do is a process called memachin biyat. Today, I think you can go to a gynecologist and the gynecologist will do it for you. They remove that membrane in such a way that she's already like a kli. And even though at this point, you know, he would forfeit the what we call the test of establishing that she was loyal to him and she was a basula, but nevertheless, the gain was greater than loss, and it would clinch the fact that that she could get pregnant from the first bi'ilah. That's called mo'eches bi'ah. And the Arizal is confused because Chazal seemed to assume that the first person in history to do this was Tamar in her relationship with Yehuda. And yet, the question is what happened way before Tamar. Well, for example, it seems that the style of Mocha Biyad came into fashion at the time of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, at the time of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. So what's going on? What happened until then? So he says that the process of Mocha Biyad predates Tamar and predates Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And it really goes back to the Rishonim. He says, "Bizman Rishonim, why you motzim absulin b'etzpa, why you mamachin b'yad, v'atam kidei shegam b'bir Rishona lotei levatola v'hi, why you mesaknim kli sheba b'etzpa." They use this artificial way of making her into a kli, kidei shetisaber gam b'bir Rishona. And therefore he reinterprets when it says that this was a style that was initiated at Beis Rebbe, Eina Kavona al Rabbeinu HaKadosh, meaning Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Eina Kavona, Beis Adam Gadol, It goes back to a great person. A Gadol Hadar. As the Gadol Hadar is allowed to initiate this artificial process in order to guarantee that she could be Misaberes Mi Be'ila Rishona. He goes on in the next paragraph and he says that in the case of Leah, she would also become pregnant from Be'ila Rishona, so therefore she also did this process of Miach HaBe'etzba, and that was way before Tamar. So why does it say Tamar? Lo Nikra al Shem Leah, why wasn't it called Leah? She was the first. Not only that, it says that the Benos Lot became pregnant from Be'ila Rishona. Hagar, in the case of Avram Avinu, became pregnant from Be'ila Rishona. We're going to have to assume that all these greats who already did it way before Tamar, Venira Libus Yat Nishmaya, and he quotes the Pachet Yitzchak. This is not the contemporary Pachet Yitzchak. This is the ancient Pachet Yitzchak from 3.5 centuries ago. The Imnolda Nara B'Yom HaShishi, again, this is all metaphysics. I can't explain, but it seems that not every woman is actually born with this part of the body, this membrane. But if she's born on Yom Shishi, on Friday, then she's born without Besulin. So he wants to say that there was a change in the Teva. Back at the time, the Kadmonim, up until Tamar, all they needed to know is that she was born, if they could clarify that, a birth certificate, that she was born on a Friday, then they knew that on the one hand they can't have a tinus besulin when they didn't find besulin, but on the other hand they would know that she could become pregnant from Be'ila Rishona. So Leah and Hagar and Benos Lot were born on Friday, and therefore they didn't have besulin from the start, and therefore they could become pregnant with Be'ila Rishona. You don't have to make them into a kli, everything was ready. But then the Teva changed at the time of Tamar, and it wouldn't matter what day of the week you were born on, you would have besulin. Alright, he goes on and on with this. I don't know if we have to get into this. I'm beginning to think
they're forcing it to you, though.
I don't know. Doc, you know what? We'll talk about this another time. I really shouldn't have even mentioned it, just that it's on the page. He says the following. Me masar simonim lemi. Who actually gave the simonim over? So he says the Medrash Eicha seems to indicate that Rachel gave the simonim to Yaakov. She was the one who initiated. She was the one who told Yaakov, you know, you're getting married to someone who has a very tricky brother over here, right? But in the Gemara Megillah, it says that Yaakov gave the simonim. So is there a theory here between what it says in Medrash Eicha and what it says in the Gemara? Ulai leish yesh yashev. He wants to give the following answer. Shahayu kama simonim ben Yaakov v'Rochel. V'yefshah sheYaakov mosar l'Rochel simon echad, Rochel mosar l'Yaakov simon acher. And therefore there's no theory. So there were certain elements of simonim that Yaakov came up with, there were others that Rochel came up with, and there were many, many different simonim. We said before that there were 3 simonim. That seems to be the number. The Tanchuma praises Rachel to the sky. Eilecha Noam min a Rachel. There's no one as beautiful and as wonderful as Rachel. Ubishvil Noya, because of that Noy, that beauty, Bikesh Yaakov Lisosa, he wanted to marry her, he gave her all the gifts. And the Lavan took these gifts, and he, so to speak, stole them from Rachel, and he gave them to Leah. And Rachel watches this going on, Vishosekis, and she says nothing. This is that Midah of Tznius that we spoke about. Now on the bottom left, which is number 28, Yeshlis Orim, Ma Gadlus B'maisa Rachel. What's so great about Rachel giving over the Simonim? Why not look at the Avos? Look at Avram Avinu. He's praying on behalf of Klal Yisrael now that they're going into Golus. He has the Nisan of the Akedah. Yitzchak has great nisyonos. And you wonder, what about the Mesiris HaSimonim? Why should that be the one to save Klal Yisrael from goats and from Churban? So he quotes an answer in the ethical world. Omnom Gadol HaYizchus HaKedah V'HaMesiris Nefesh. Certainly the merit of the Akedah is that much greater and there's nothing that compared to it. But there's something about Mesiras Simonim that makes it very unique and makes it even superior to the Akedah. The Akedah is a one-time deal. In other words, it's Bishas Maisa. You know, after the Akedah, the Nisayon is more or less over. Again, one could debate that, but that's his premise. And that's true for all the Nisayonas, but the exception to the rule is the Nisayon of Rachel. She's going to live with this her whole life. Lo nigmar liachar Hashem masa simonim. It continues on. Lo nishlam chazdo shel Rachel, her chesed was not complete just by simply giving over the simonim to Leah. But kol yimei chayah shel Rachel, for her entire life, amdo minisayin zeh shel mesiras hasimonim. The challenge of mesiras simonim is something that's ongoing through, during the entire course of her life. And she overcomes bigvura ba'omets. Sharei zeh, shenis afshel l'leah linosel Yaakov. The Mesiras Simonim represents the fact that she stepped aside and allowed Yaakov to marry Leah. Kemuvan shel Leah, ha'isa nimtzeis mevuyeshes k'tzas b'fnei Rachel. Imagine during the course of the, let's say, the initial stages of the marriage between Leah and Yaakov, she, Leah, is in a state of embarrassment in front of Rachel, because she owes so much to Rachel. Rachel was the one who gave her the Simonim and facilitated, allowed her to marry Yaakov. And therefore her feeling would be so uncomfortable whenever she would be in the presence of Rachel. She would feel inhibited about the fact that it's only because of Rachel. Look what she owes, what a debt of gratitude she owes to Rachel. Rachel gave it up, and now she's married to Yaakov. We go on to the next page. Rachel, because of her desire to do chesed, a complete chesed, excuse me, a true chesed, that chesed is not limited to that one moment of Mesiras Simonim, but it goes on and on and on for the entire balance of the marriage between Leah and Yaakov. Rachel does not treat Leah as if Leah owes her a debt of gratitude, but rather she gives Leah the hargosha, the feeling that Leah is the Ikar Abayis, that she's the most important element in the household. She's the main wife of Yaakov. And Rachel gives Leah the feeling that he nosna la argosha he tachas Leah, that in the hierarchy of wives, Leah is on the top, and Rachel is inferior, is secondary to Leah. And therefore she never ever mentions to Leah the fact that she, Rachel, gave them a simonim. This is an ongoing challenge to Leah, to Rachel. Asher nimshach kol ha'chaim, it goes on for the rest of her life. It's a very difficult nisoyin. Imagine never saying anything to your sister about the fact, hey, how did you become the main wife of Yaakov? It's because I gave you the simonim so you could marry Yaakov first. It requires a tremendous oz and gvura to overcome the natural temptation and desire to bring up this fact. You owe me one. It's because of me. And this is the great schus of Hagvura that's going to bring about Vishavu Banim Ligvulam. And in order to appreciate the great tzidkus of Rachel, the fact that she's able to be Mavliga. Mavliga means she's able to control herself. That's the Gvura of Kitzeis HaShemesh B'Gvurasa, the Shemesh coming out in sunrise. That represents Gvura, the great power. Take a look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk, and this we go back to page 3 for a moment, you'll see in the next parsha in Vayetze, Perek Lamed, you remember that Reuven goes out and he finds Dudaim. And he brings them to his mother, Leah. Rachel says to Leah, give me some of these dudaim. And Leah lashes out at her. And she says, it's almost as if you took my husband, now you want to take the dudaim? And Rachel therefore gives up that night, which was meant to be her night, her rendezvous night with Yaakov. She gives it up, she forfeits it to Leah. Now this is very strange. Leah saying, you know, I have a claim against you. I have a taina against you. What's my taina? Ma'at kachacht. How do you pronounce that word? I didn't do it. Kachtech, I'm sorry. Kachtech es ishi. What do you mean kachtech es ishti? What kind of argument is that? After all, the only reason that Leah's married to Yaakov is because of Rachel. So there's no mention on Rachel's part, you know, she could have counted, you know, somebody has a claim against you and you have a great counter argument, but she doesn't want to say so. She doesn't want to say, hey, wait a minute, you're saying you're accusing me of taking your husband? What are you talking about? You're only there as a wife because of me. You know, you're considering me second fiddle, and I'm taking away from you because you're the first wife of Yaakov. No, you're only there because of me. But she overcomes that, and that's the midah of Rachel. Rachel personifies shtika, silence. To be silent requires a tremendous amount of gvura, of courage, of overcoming one's natural tendency to lash out and to say things. And instead, what does Rachel say to her sister Leah at the time of this dudoyim? Yishkav imach halayla hazeh. Rachel certifies and validates the claim of Leah, as if to say your claim is correct, and if you can take Yaakov, as if you are tzodek, as you have the right, just argument. And we begin to see the great mile of Rachel, and begin to appreciate that she gives Leah the feeling that Leah is always right. She got married to Yaakov in place of Rachel. She's the main first wife of Yaakov, to such an extent that she's willing, Rachel, to accept the argument Hama'at kach teches ishti, as if she, Rachel, is guilty of stealing Yaakov from Leah. All this is because of her great tzidkus and her great chesed. And now, how do we understand what Leah actually said to Rachel? I mean, Leah is also a just person. Leah shetzadekes haisa, she's a righteous person. And some say that she was even greater, on a greater level than Rachel. I mean, she had six shvatim. The greatest shvatim come from Leah, including Mashiach. The hein emes nochana davar shel Rachel b'stargusa naslas hargosha zu shel osa ima shum chesed b'mesir simonim ach mikomakom lea yoda shel Rachel maslas simonim mitov liba. So what does Lea mean when she lashes out against Rachel with the words Hama'at kach teches ishi? And he says the following, that Lea lo yoda klal shahayu simonim ben Yaakov l'Rachel. Okay, this is pretty radical. And you can either take it or leave it, but let's just hear it at least. Again, I'm underlining these words. Leah lo yada klal shahayu simonim ben Yaakov l'Rachel. Yada Leah sa simonim ubechoza lo yada mem klal. This is unbelievable. When Rachel hands over the simonim to Leah, she doesn't reveal to Leah not a word about the fact that these were simonim that were agreed to by her, by Rachel and Yaakov. And he based himself on the Das HaSkenim of the Bali HaTosfos, that Yaakov was meant to test Leah about Nida Chalan Adlokas HaNer. Yaakov Sikem Im Rachel Shetinose Lo Vio. Just one second. Omad velimdas hilchas hanoshim anak sheomra lo Rachel ki lovan yirama oso viachnisis leah tachtea lechupa ona Yaakov yomala yu elu hahalachos simon biyadech. These should be a simon between us. Ubalila, at the night of the consummation of the marriage, I'm going to ask you these halachos. And when you'll answer, I'll know that it's Rachel and not Leah. So Yaakov was not asking for her simonim to prove that she's Rachel. He was asking her, in other words, when he said the words to Leah, you know, what can you tell me? He wasn't saying, well, tell me the secret password. He was telling me, what halachas do you know about marriage and the responsibility of a woman in marriage? And she gave the responses because she knew these halachas. And Rachel taught her these halachas. But it doesn't mean that Rachel told her that these were simonim. Lo gilsa la klal shem simonim ela she Yaakov omela shekol bas Yisrael tzricha leida halachas elu. She, Rachel, tells Leah that Yaakov told her that these are the basic halachas that every girl who marries a Jewish man has to know about. That's the nature of Jewish marriage. And now, when she, Leah, goes to marry Yaakov, she's got to know these halachas. The pashtus of betivius, she did it in such a way, Rachel, that it was such pashtus, in such natural way, it was a cover-up. She didn't want Rachel to feel... Excuse me, Leah, that to feel that she, Rachel, had done this maisa, this tremendous maisa, this is also part of Atznius. She was just there to teach her the halachas about marriage because Yaakov is going to expect those halachas to be. So therefore, Rachel's desire, her total will and dedication was to do chesed with her sister in the most perfect way possible. That Leah should not feel that she owes Rachel anything. And there should never be a feeling on Leah's part that she's on a lower madrega. And therefore, Leah, in her naivete, understood and convinced herself that this was the marriage that was made in heaven from her to marry Yaakov. And that the divine intervention here in the Seder Advarim, the Siba Mesovim, was that she, Leah, would marry Yaakov. And from that time and on, Leah lived a perfectly comfortable life. And when Rachel tries to push a little bit, Leah lashes out at Rachel. And by the way, the Medrash says Gilsa es Asimonim. It doesn't say in the Medrash that anything other than Masra es Asimonim. It doesn't say Gilsa. Gilsa would have meant that Rachel revealed Simonim. There was never revealed a Simonim, but Masra, she told her, what a Jewish woman is supposed to know about marriage. Achein Leah shetana leRachel. Okay, with this we'll try to finish it up. I see it's time to end. Hamaat kach teches ishi lo argisha shum pgam betainizu. Leah thought that she was justified in putting forth this argument. Shem hechan hayelo adas ki Rachel betuva gadol bechazda ki ravu he sheifshera Leah linasel Yaakov. She, Leah, never knew that it was Rachel who made it possible for her, Leah, to marry Yaakov. Ilu Leah atzma choshev daitel kol yimei chayeh asher zochse hi gam lios eishes Yaakov avur dmos avia ramos avia v'kach zochse hi lios eishes Yaakov uli notzel mi lios eishes Esav, that with all her tears and her supplications, God spared her, Leah, from being the married partner, the companion of Esav. The Akach Ovad Yaakov Od Shonim Bavur Rachel, the Rachel Bolemes Espia, she overcomes her mouth. The Ena Meshiva Lanos Lilea Dover Hasimonim She Masrola. Unbelievable. A whole nother pshat here in the name of the Lev Shalom about what went on over here. The Rachel's incredible level of chesed. And we begin to understand that Leah never knew anything about this whole story of Mesiras HaSimon. That Rachel gave her the misimpression that it was her, Leah's own schusim that brought about this strange set of circumstances in which she, Leah, would be married to Yaakov. So I'm just going to end here, but if you have chance, there's a very nice piece here on the top left column from the Shvilei Pinchas. I'm not sure who he is, the Shvilei Pinchas. Here on the top left. And, this is about Rachel coming to claim against Yaakov Avinu after Leah had so many children, that he, Yaakov, should beg Hashem and supplicate that she, Rachel, should be the mother of children. And the question is, why did Rachel wait for this until after Leah had the Reuven and Shimon and Levi? And Oz kvar shlimu Leah achas me arba imos chelka b'leidus hashvat. She had three children at that time. And yesh levarki ayol sheikar asiva shemosa simanam olei mishum shehisigo beruach hakodesh ki Yehuda shemimenu yetzei melech hamashiach yivoleid milea achosa. What motivated Rachel, or maybe gave her an extra motivation, is that she saw in Ruach HaKodesh that the Melech HaMashiach would come through Leah, meaning Yehuda would be born to Leah. It's called Zman Shelo Nolad Yehuda until our fourth child, Leah gave birth to the fourth child of Yehuda, which again was the portion of Leah, you know, right, if you divide 12...
by 3, you get 4.
Yeah, I don't know. So why is he dividing it by 3? That I missed that point. L'chein kol zman shelo nolad Yehuda lo rotzo l'dabrim Yaakov ledas baneha ledas habanim. Ah, I see. The kasha is Rachel should have come forward after the birth of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, after the birth of Levi, because now Rachel would have assumed that Leah had enough children. She had her quarter, her portion. Why did she wait until after Yehuda? Because at this point, she thought that now Leah has fulfilled her role that was originally designated by Hashem, that she should be the mother of Yehuda. V'shema al yedei zeh yipared mi Leah. And Leah's fear was now that Rachel would begin to have children, because Rachel is now begging Yaakov to bring about a situation where God would give her children, that she's in effect stealing away Yaakov from her. Ulam, achrei shekvar nolad Yehuda, shebishvilo masa simonim Leah. Now Rachel justifies herself, and she says, you know what? I gave over the simonim to Leah because she would be the mother of Yehuda. Now that she's already the mother of Yehuda, now it's high time that I have children. That's the way he wants to add another dimension here to understanding this whole relationship between Rachel and Leah. Okay then, we almost got to the finish line. We wanted to do the Rama Mipanua, but we'll have to leave that together with the Maral Miprague and others for another time. The Maral Miprague is going to take us back to David and Yonasan that we began with, and sort of weave that into the whole story that we learned today about Rachel and Leah. So I want to thank everyone for coming today. I know the weather is inclement and the winter has somehow descended upon us. But Jeff, if you could do me a favor and open the door. Also, I left Myra McCormick's for the shear on the Bima.
Right.
If you could bring them in, because I'd like to get that. Yeah, so...
Rachel didn't wait another 7 years to marry him, but she made it in straight afterwards, but he still had to work for 7 years.
I'm not familiar with that. If you could find that.
I
don't remember such a thing. Okay. Maybe it's a major show. Oh, it's good. Thank you.